Shogger, how you doing? Do you think Bouchard gets in tonight?
I have no clue.
Well, what's your guess? Yes or no?
I don't know. I'm done trying to guess what the plan is with Evan Bouchard. No, I'm going to say no.
No. Okay.
Why would they play him? Tyson Berry doesn't need a break and is fine. Adam Larson and his new D partner are still getting settled in together. Ethan Bear has been fine. So, no, I don't think Dave Tippett's into handing out courtesy starts. I don't think he has been for months on end. And if he was, then this extremely important prospect would have been playing the odd game. But clearly, yeah, throw on a game or two here or there. Like, I don't know, maybe I guess they want to have him ready if he has to play a playoff game. Maybe you throw him a game or two, maybe for that reason. But, yeah, the whole thing, I think, was just, yeah, not ideal. So I don't know if he plays. We'll see.
I do know that I think I've said all along, I think he plays this week. So if he doesn't play tonight, I think he'll play Thursday. I think they're just going to get him in a few games. You know, a guy like Larson, I won't be surprised if he rests a game here or there just because. So I could see, you know, it's second game of a back-to-back. It would be easy to do it tonight as well. So I think he'll get in some games down the stretch. I think you'll see a guy like Patrick Russell get a game even if they can. The massage, you know, you got a few guys up on emergency recall. You can rotate those guys up and down on emergency. Right, so that's pretty easy, so I think they'll do that. One guy I know for sure is playing is Connor McDavid, and you know, he just continues to roll and steamroll through the NHL. Shogger becomes only the sixth player in NHL history to have five consecutive 30 goals, 60 point seasons. Now keep in mind, there's only 15 guys all time who have ever done it five times, but only six of them have done it five in a row, and he's just turned 24. Like, he's got an opportunity to finish second and has an outside shot, if you think that for the next 8 years he could get 30 goals and 60 points, to challenge Wayne Gretzky, which sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty crazy. You know, like, we're watching him pile up the points, and offensively it's just a brilliant year for him, but I've kind of been observing him the last little bit here, and just the way he's handling his media availabilities, the things he's talking about when he's asked about the potential for 100 points, just kind of where his head is at. And, you know, I did a little piece on this today for SportsCenter, but I don't know about you, Greg, but everything that I see in Connor McDavid right now is I see a guy that's preparing for what's coming. I see a guy who's, like, steeling himself and getting ready. I think that loss to Chicago in the play-in was so devastating for them and for him in particular. I think that was a major moment in his career, to get beaten by guys like Taves and Kane, and guys who, I mean, frankly, at the end of the day, outplayed him because their team won. And I just see him desperate to not let that happen again. So when he's asked about the personal goal of 100 points, he kind of shrugs it off. He's just not going to talk a lot about it. I think he's more interested in making sure he's playing the right way. I don't see him cheating a ton. Like, I think he's still putting in honest efforts, and he's back-checking hard, and he's playing an honest game. I just think he is really, really prepared to not let what happened last year happen again, and we're seeing that in all of his answers, in his demeanor, and the way he's approaching everything. I think McDavid, he's as brilliant as he's ever been, but I see him right now as more motivated than I've ever seen him before, and it's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, the crazy part is Leon Draisaitl right now is on pace for 119 points in a full season. And we'd be like, what an unreal year. And it's barely even getting noticed because McDavid's on pace for 149.
Crazy. Leon's year is off the charts, too. Like, he's having a fantastic year. You know, he's having the kind of year that, you know, puts you right in the Hart Trophy conversation. You know, back-to-back years for Draisaitl. You know, like, unreal. Yeah, like you say, it's not that it's not getting noticed. It's just really overshadowed by the extent to what McDavid is doing. He's just gone to a whole other level here. So real good news for the Oilers. The other thing that I think was good news for the Oilers, I'll kind of change the subject a little bit here on you. I really like the way Nugent Hopkins played last night. I feel like maybe, you know, maybe seeing Ryan McLeod playing in that second line center spot, you know, maybe he just sort of, hey, you know, like, he came back with probably one of his best games of the year last night. And I think that really bodes well for them. When he can put that kind of game together, when McDavid and Draisaitl are playing together, it just gives Tippett that option, makes him feel better about that option. So Nugent Hopkins has come back and been better than he's been all year long, and last night was as good as he's been all year. That is a massively good sign for the Oilers hurtling towards the playoffs.
Yeah, and Strutz and I were talking about this earlier. Here's, I think, going to be the challenge for Dave Tippett. Is four of their next six games are against Vancouver, so that's five of their final seven. Canucks aren't very good. Like, let's be honest. They're not very good. They're depleted. They're COVID-ravaged. And, I wonder if Dave Tippett's like, yeah, okay, I like things, but if he really might drill down to see where his team's at against those two games against Montreal. Like, I just wonder if, yep. You know, I think the challenge the next few days, as strange as this sounds, is to just not get too over-enamored about performances against, you know, a very bad, depleted Vancouver team.
Yeah, we'll hear him, and Tippett is, you know, he's interesting. He reveals a lot with the things that he doesn't say. So you watch him the next couple of days. He's not going to be over-complimentary of his team. They could win 7-8-1, and he'll be like, yep, it was good, and yeah, nice to get the goals, and but lots to work on. He will not get over-enamored, like you said, with you know, positive things that are happening right now, because he wants to keep them on their toes. And I think this group has matured a lot, too. You know, I think that the leadership group on this team, from Darnell Nurse, McDavid and Draisaitl, and those guys, I think they just, it's just not about getting there anymore. You know, it's not about, like, these guys have bigger plans, and they desperately want to take a run here. And it's just all business with these guys. Like, even listening to Darnell Nurse, I mean, he's just all business. And Tippett will set that tone. These next few games, you want your power play to click. You want your stars to feel it. You want to stay healthy. And you want to make sure you aren't overtaxing guys. And you desperately need Mike Smith to stay healthy as well. So, they'll have it at about 80%, and they'll do what they need to do to get through and be ready to go for the playoffs.
Mike Smith, I actually looked up Mike Smith's numbers dating back to January 1st of 2020. And he is 30 wins, 9 losses, 6 overtime losses in that time. He is, that's the 6th most wins. He's 6th in save percentage at .919. He's 11th in goals against at, I think it's 2.45. Like, it's not just this regular season. Like, Mike Smith had 26 minutes in the bubble. And that seemed to overshadow everything he did in the January till the end of the year last year. And, you know, even this year, like when the season started, people were really up on it. But I look at Mike Smith, man, and for 16 months outside of 26 minutes after a 4-month layoff, he's been exceptional. Like way better than I even thought when I put the numbers together.
Yeah. No, he's been good. You know, and what I'll say to that is nothing has mattered more than his playoff start. Like, that is the single most important thing he's had to do. And it didn't go well. And he's the first one to admit that. And when he was asked about it, his media availability the other day, and you were right in there with him too, it was great. He was, I think it was after the win, he was upfront and honest. And he basically just admitted, like, he didn't do a good job of getting ready after the shutdown. He didn't come back ready enough, and he just didn't feel like he had it. And he was really honest about that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, being a father of all those kids, and maybe for whatever reason. But other than that, he's been excellent. He's been reliable. He's been a presence in the room. He's been everything you could have wanted from that signing and more. He's one of the best value contracts in the National Hockey League this season for what he's giving them. And, he's been phenomenal. But he is at the center of the drive that this team possesses to do something, you know, to do something important and to do something that matters. His competitiveness, he's right in the middle of it. And you don't normally get that from goalies, but his presence is such that he's, you know, that's just the role he plays in there, you know, and his competitiveness, and you see the way he celebrates wins, he is fired up, and that has to rub off on the group.
Well, and you listen to Dave Tippett, because there was talk about, well, maybe you take Smith, you know, give him a full day off when he's backing up, like last night. And they said, and Tippett talked about, no, the rhythm of our team and his vocal, just what he says on the bench. And, you know, I asked McDavid about it. And so those are some things that don't always show up in the stats line, and not everything.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, you know, like not everything. Even James Neal, like you saw the video, James Neal, and we were joking that James Neal went to Jesse Puljujärvi and said, hey, do you want to switch lines? And then Puljujärvi laughs, and he's like, no, right? Like, obviously, that's probably not what he said. But you look, things like that sometimes, people who, you know, it's hard to put it, you can't put a rational value term on it. But anybody who's ever played at any level in any sport knows that those guys in your room make it a big difference. Like, even in men's league, you have the one guy in your room that everyone's like, well, he's always funny, right? Like, you go there, you're like, oh, I'll come a little bit earlier because I know Bob's going to be cracking jokes and it's more fun to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, and the dressing room dynamic, you know, you want things to feel familiar. You want things to feel comfortable. Mike Smith in that room as a backup probably does a lot to help prepare the group, you know, just his presence, just being there. They see the backup goalie taking things so seriously, or they see the competitiveness from him, or maybe he's a little lighter on those days and that's good for the group. I don't know. But that's a great point. You know, we were thinking, well, it's just all about rest, and the best way to let him rest is like, dude, stay home, put your feet up on the couch, relax, you know. Well, that's not necessarily what is needed for him or the team, or to take them out of their rhythm. So They know, you know, there's so much that we don't have a grasp on that goes on in that room. They know what mix they need on any given night. You know, there's so much more behind all the decisions they make. We do our best to dissect it and to analyze things, but we always have to be aware of what we don't know, and that's a great example there. Even if Mike Smith's not playing, they want him in that locker room and on that bench.
Shauger, enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Take care.